Good morning, everyone. How are you today?
Good.
You're probably surprised. I'm like, you're looking for Pat, and you see this other weird guy up here. Hey, my name's John. I have been to Walled Lake before, but it was for our, I want to say either Adventure Days or VBS. We had a group of Japanese children come in, and I found out, and I was like, hey, I speak Japanese. Why don't I come hang out with you guys for a day? And it was a really wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Quite frankly, I always refer to it as God's divine appointment. I grew up in Japan till I was 17, and so I hadn't used my Japanese hardly at all, so I was super nervous being around a bunch of little kids and how they would make fun of my Japanese, but the Lord used it for His glory, and I got to share the gospel with these kids at Walled Lakes VBS, so it was really awesome to do that. So it's a pleasure for me to be here with you guys this morning. We are doing a location pastor swap, so I preach at the Flushing location at the river. All of our locations are going to have different pastors there from all the different locations, and so it's just an honor to be here with you guys today. I love that I can drive an hour away, and I know that there are brother and sisters still in Christ pursuing the same vision, the same mission for what the Word has for us. And so today, we're going to continue our series. We've been going through the vision of the church, why the church does what the church does, right? Like, why are we engaged as believers, or what is it that we should be engaged in as believers? And this really stems from Matthew 28, right? What the Lord told His disciples as He was about to ascend. He said, listen, go and make disciples, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And this is really, you see it in the river, their brochures, and you walk in the door, you would have seen it. You see it on the screen. We've taken that commission and made it even a little bit simpler. Not that we're trying to change God's word, but really give us some quick understanding of what it is that we're called to do. And we succinct that to these three simple words: reach, gather, and grow, right? Reaching the lost, that's important. That's a mission that we're called to do. That's part of go and make disciples. To gather together with the believers, the saints, right? Brothers and sisters in Christ. God did not intend for us to be isolated and alone and do this thing called following Christ. He gave us brothers and sisters to do this, and that's why it's important to gather those who have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to look at what it looks like as the church grows, right? What does it mean to grow? And we see this very clearly in the Great Commission to obey or to observe, as Jesus says, to observe all that I have commanded you to do. And one of the main things that we're going to look at today is the church in Acts. Pat's been walking you through Acts and what it means and how they exampled this and how we can take what Acts illustrated for us, walk through, and apply it to our lives. Okay, and so we saw reach early in Acts was as the Lord told them to wait for the Holy Spirit, right? You can't run ahead of the Holy Spirit. You got to have the Holy Spirit in this evangelism and in going and preaching the Word of God and sharing your testimony. If you try to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit, you're just relying on your own strength, and that's never going to work, because who changes hearts? The Holy Spirit. I don't have the ability to change anybody's heart. I can show them the truth, I can point them to the truth, but the one that does the work in anyone's heart is God Himself, the Holy Spirit. And so we looked at that. Also, last week, we looked at what the early church was devoted to as they gathered together, right? We looked at they were devoted to prayer. We looked at they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, and that's really where we're going to start. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it to Acts 2. We'll begin in verse 42. Now, I'm going to run through different passages in Acts, okay? I'm not going to hang in one particular passage. I'm going to jump through the book of Acts to kind of illustrate to you and show to you what happened to the church when they were devoted to these things, right? It says that they were devoted to the apostles' teachings, that they were devoted to fellowship and breaking bread and prayer. I love that in the very first word in there is this notion of the apostles' teachings. Now, when you hear that, you might think, oh, I wonder if they taught something different than what Jesus did. No, not at all. The apostles' teaching is rooted in, and I want you to see this, and we'll walk through this, is rooted in everything Jesus. They were teaching his commandments, his behavior, the way he loved people, the way he engaged with people with mercy and kindness and love. I mean, these are the things that we're going to see are rooted in the apostles' teachings. Where is that recorded for us today? It is recorded for us in his word, the Holy Scriptures. This is a foundational aspect of growing as a believer in Christ. And I don't know where everybody's walk is. You may be very new to Christ. You may have been following Christ for years, if not decades. And sometimes this is a massive challenge. As a pastor, I have these conversations often, the struggle to engage with God's word because of the fear. Oh, it's too complex. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I'm too busy. I have so many other things on my plate. Anybody relate to this? Hey, listen, I have this struggle too, just to be honest. Right? It's very easy to get, oh man, I got too much stuff going on. I forgot my time with the Lord, whether that's spending time in his word or praying with him. It's real, right? We can be honest as brothers and sisters in Christ. Like sometimes our routines, our schedules, our priorities pull us away from his word. And us growing in God, we have to remember, we have to focus back to what is originally shown for us by the church. And I'm going to show you as we walk through Acts, their devotion to God's word and what that looked like and what that produced. And so before we really get into the text, let's take a minute and just go to the Lord and ask his spirit to be present, right? As we are engaging in the word, I'm a firm believer that if the spirit's not here, we're going to miss out. And so I want God's spirit to be present here with us where two or three are gathered. It says that the spirit is here and there's more than two of us here. So let's pray for the spirit to move in us, to convict us where we need to be convicted and challenge and encourage us where we need to be challenged and encouraged. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, man, thank you so much for this time we have as brothers and sisters, Lord, really to just open your word and examine it and apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that this morning you would lead me as your servant, Lord. You would remove any part of me that would be an inhibitor or a block for people to hear you and see you. I pray this morning, if there is someone here that doesn't know you, Lord, I just pray that they would see your love, your kindness, your devotion, and why that is so important to them in their life, what you have done for them at the cross. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Awesome. We're going to start with, in Acts chapter 2, we see in verse 42, I've read it already, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, right? They devoted themselves, you could say this in another way, to God's word. And what does that look like as we proceed and look in other passages of Scripture? Now, if your Bible's shaped up, you can turn just a page, just a little bit, to Acts chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 41. Verse 41, Acts 4, 41 says this, and they had prayed, there it is, they're devoted to prayer, this is what they were doing, it was a regular routine part of their life, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, we see the correlation that the Spirit is present, they're not running ahead of the Spirit, getting before them, they're waiting for the presence of the Spirit, the power of God to move them, to direct them. And then it says these words, I love this. And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They spoke the word of God with boldness. They understood that their devotion to the apostles' teachings, God's word, was a very integral part of them evangelizing and growing as believers. They knew that when things were going to get difficult, and this the context of Acts, as you're going to see, they did endure persecution. They did endure hardship, difficulty. When the pressure hits us, where do we fall back to? The church shows us that, man, this is where they fell back to. When things got difficult, when things were hard, when things weren't convenient, they reacted to their habits that they had created, that we saw them create back in Acts 2, their devotion to his word, their devotion to prayer, and their devotion to one another, fellowship, breaking bread with one another. And here we see, as that persecution is coming upon them, their hearts turn to, as the Spirit fills them, to boldly proclaim God's word. Now, we're going to walk through this in a few minutes, but there are some things written in here that are not very popular. I don't know if you knew that or not. Some of the things in here are hard things to hear. No one wants to hear they're a sinner. Guess what? This says we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. They were bold to proclaim the truth of God's word. It doesn't just end with we're a sinner, though. This is the good news. This is the joy that comes in proclaiming God's word in this bold manner is, hey, there's hope for us who are sinners. For all of us who are sinners. None of us is above it. And so this hope is what they were boldly proclaiming, right? They were boldly proclaiming the very word of God. Jump just one verse past this and you see exactly the very specific point in which they narrow down in the word of God. This is so important to recognize. Just see it, just one verse down, verse 33 of chapter 4. And it says, and with great power, of course this power comes only from the Holy Spirit, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Man, that's such an important element to understand of what we are talking about. When we are talking about God's word, listen, as a church, as we want to grow and we want to mature as believers, we have got to get some clarity on who Jesus is and what he did. And I want to tell you why this is important. Because when we have absolute clarity about who Jesus is and what he did, our worship, our growing is no longer religious orientated, it's relationally orientated. I'm no longer pressured or feel guilty or obligated to get into God's word. I now have a relationship with God, and now it is a pursuit, a desire, a passion that I want to know God more. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Man, I can't wait to spend time with God. Think about this in our human relationships. Now, I don't know if you get along with your wife or not. I'm not going to make any assumptions. I've been married for almost 20 years, and I've had rough patches here and there, right? Like, some days she doesn't like me. I get it. I'm a tough dude to like. But I love her. She's amazing. But we have that, right? In a relationship, we have to spend time together, or what happens? We fall apart. We drift apart. We disengage. We isolate. We become separate. No, this is no different. Even I'm a father of three daughters. I have to spend time with my daughters. For them to know who I am, that I love them, that I care for them, that they're important. And we recognize this in our physical human relationships, but oftentimes we neglect this in our relationship with God. And we allow him to say, oh, he'll understand, he'll get it. And our obligation, right, this is religion-orientated relationship, where our obligation's like, oh, I have to do this. I have to get in God's word. Oh, I have to pray. Listen, I grew up in the church as a missionary kid. I understand this object of religion and legalism, right? This notion of what religion creates in our life. It is a burden. We follow these systems without actually having an engagement with a true relationship. And I've lived it. I grew up in a church. I was 17, 18 when I came back to the U.S., and I 100% walked away from the church. I proclaimed atheism. So I understand what religion produces. It produces, I can never do it, it's impossible. You look around and you look at people and you're like, well, they're broken, they don't seem to do this. And you seem like you're surrounded by a bunch of hypocrites. That's condemning. You're like, oh, man. That's a heavy weight, Pastor John. What are we talking about here? I thought we were talking about growing. This is the heart, that as we walk through this passage and we see what the apostles are pointing us to, they're pointing us to this truth of who, the clarity of who Jesus is, what he has done, what he's not just done in this world, but what he has done specifically for you and for me. I love it. It points it to the very resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You realize that our faith as believers hinges solely on that single fact. I want you to take a moment and think about this. If the resurrection did not happen. I'll use Paul's own words. We, of all people, are to be most pitied. The resurrection is the hinge point of our faith. Why is that so crucial? It points us to who Jesus is, the Son of God, the one who was able to be resurrected from the dead of his own power, who had victory over sin and death. This is what they were proclaiming and testifying to. We have to have this clarity of who Jesus is in our life and what he has done for us. See, he didn't go to the grave to put on a show. He went into the grave and he faced the sin that we should be facing, the penalty of sin. And he overcame it, victorious. And so this shifts our relationship with God when we have that clear clarity of who Jesus is and what he's done from an obligatory sense of like, I have to do this, I need to walk in this, I need to grow, I need to have community, to, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to spend time with the God who loved me this way. I can't wait to get into his word, to learn some new truth, some new thing to apply to my life so that I can draw closer to him and understand him better. What an incredible truth we see in these passages for us to apply in our life. I love this. If you look at verse 31, you kind of see the source. The source is this: they prayed, right? They prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God. There's your source. That's what they were devoted to earlier in chapter 2. Prayer, fellowship, God's word, the teaching of the apostles, relying heavily on the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then you start to see in verse 33, it shows us the content of that devotion. The content was this: they continually testified of who Jesus is and what he's done, his resurrection. They continued to center their teaching on Christ. And I love this. Don't miss this line at the end of that verse. Grace was upon them all. Listen, I love this. This is important to really be grounded in. This isn't saying we're going to be perfect and walk in perfection all the time. That time is yet to come in the resurrection when we are in the state of glory, right? We're still flawed. We still struggle with sin. We still have this thing called the flesh to engage with. But listen, I love that there is this word in that phrase, this word that grace came upon them all. Does this mean we're going to get it perfect every single time? No. As we are growing in God's word and we are faced with conviction, or we listen to the Holy Spirit, does that mean we're going to obey and respond to it the way we should every time? No, I wish it was the case. But there's this wonderful word in that sentence that points us to God's grace, right? How do we know God's grace? Because we spend time with him. We recognize the importance. That's his forgiveness, him giving us what we don't deserve, right? It's such an incredible aspect of what we see the teachers, the apostles, teaching the early church. As we continue, I want you to turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 5. Just one page over, Acts chapter 5 in verse 42. See, we see the church is filled with the Spirit. We see that the word that they are teaching is centered on Jesus. But Acts continues to show us something else in the church. And this is such an important aspect of our walk with Christ. That this wasn't just something that happened occasionally. This wasn't something that just happened on a whim, on an emotional moment. No, this was something that happened continually, daily. Look at this, chapter 5, verse 42. It says this: And I want you to understand the context of this, just before I read this text. The context is this: they were beaten, they're about to be beaten, earlier in the chapter, and they are being told, do not preach Christ. Do not preach and teach Jesus. This is what it says, right? In fact, I think one of the high priests has this conversation with those who are trying to stop this movement, the movement we call today Christianity. And the priest says, listen, hey, if this is a man-made thing, just let it go. It'll die out on its own. He says, but if this is actually from God, be careful, you may find yourself opposing God himself, right? And here's what they do. After that high priest tells them that, they beat him, they beat the disciples, the apostles, and say, don't preach Jesus. And this is where we're following into in this text, and I want you to see this in verse 42. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching the Christ is Jesus. I want you to understand that, because listen, this we talked about this earlier, man. Walking in Christ, in relationship with Christ, being devoted, growing in his word, spending time with fellow believers. Listen, we recognize that sometimes that can be hard. That can be difficult, right? Whether it's the busyness of life, the convenience, the routine that we haven't really engaged in, the habits we haven't set in place. If we don't have this devotion to who God is and in this devotion to our relationship with God and growing closer to him, when the pressure hits, it's going to be really easy to say, ah, no, I'm good. Maybe I shouldn't get in the Word. Maybe I don't need to spend time with the Lord. Now, if you've been in church, you're like, man, that's crazy. Why would anybody say that? Why would anybody think, man, I don't need to spend time with the Lord? Well, if it's pressure, listen, this church had pressure. Their leaders were being beaten. They didn't come back with no scars. And what did they do? What is the example because of their devotion to God's word? See, they placed themselves under his authority, and his authority tells us very clearly, day after day, every day, they devoted themselves to being in God's word. Every day. Even when the magistrates, the ones in authority, came after him and said, hey, you can't do this. Don't preach anymore. Don't teach Jesus Christ anymore. What did they do? And I love what's in here, and it's easy to miss the subtlety of what they say here. This is not just something they did in their own home. They did do that. We would call that their private life. Look at this. They went from house to house. That's their private life. But they also did this in their public life. Pay close attention to the fact that they were in the temple and from house to house. Both their public life and their private life was in harmony and unity, and what they proclaimed was Jesus. Our culture that we live in often tries to tell us, hey, listen, your private life and your public life can be different, especially with the introduction of social media and media, digital media. All of this makes it this chasm that we have between what we present in the public and what is actually happening in our private be totally different. This is why you see people, man, they on their social media, they post the best pictures of themselves, the happiest pictures of themselves. But when they come into their home, they find themselves lonely, depressed, full of anxiety, and uncertain of what is to come. Our society, our culture presents this notion of what we present publicly and what we present privately can be totally on opposite spectrums, and the church shows us that that's not the truth. As devoted followers of Jesus, being under his word, we recognize that what we present in the public should match what we do in the private. We're not putting on a show for somebody out in the public and then acting differently when we get into our houses and in our homes where nobody sees us. When we say I'm a Christian and I'm devoted to God's word, that's just not on Sunday morning. That's also Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm not trying to step on any toes. We're looking at what the church says and what the church does and how they live under the authority of God's word. And we're using what they've done as an example for us in our life. How this can be encouraging to us and remind us the importance of God's word, not just for Sunday morning. Listen, I love gathering with the church. It's my favorite day of the week. I get to see brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, some days they're having really bad days on Sundays. Some days they're having really good days. I might come one week and someone's really struggling. Man, it's been a rough week. Okay, can I pray with you? I don't even have to know the details. Can I just spend some time and pray with you? Guess what? That's not just the pastor that gets to do that. That's brothers and sisters in Christ. And you might come the next week and be like, follow up and be like, hey, how was your week? Oh, man, it wasn't as good, but it's getting there. I see God showing up in ways that I could have. And you start to hear the wonderful power of God's word and his Holy Spirit working in a life. And you go, okay, yes, this is awesome. I'm on board. It excites me. It brings joy in my life to see God working in people's life. Guess where that starts? It starts by being placed under the authority of God's word. Letting this rule in your life, not just on Sunday, but every other day of the week. This is where you see the church growing and you see this element where they preached and they taught that Jesus is Christ. I love it, man. I love that they aren't afraid to contrast and help us see that our public life and our private life need to reflect Jesus as Christ. As we move on and we see what else the church shows us, I want you to turn to Acts 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. This is as the church is growing. Listen, there's nothing wrong numerically growing, but what we are challenging you to do is grow spiritually. Grow as mature believers. Numbers are in scriptures, right? Like we see early on, there were 3,000 added, and then 5,000 were added, and then many were added, and the disciples multiplied. So numbers aren't the problem. That's not what we're not saying that. But what we are trying to talk about, we talk about what it means to grow in Christ, is we are talking about individuals who are devoted to his word, who want to become mature in Christ, who desire to pursue what God has laid out for their life and submit to the authority of his word in your life. Look at this in Acts chapter 6. I'm going to be in verse 7. They're selecting deacons. The church is growing. They now need to assign deacons to accomplish some of the word. In fact, in verse 4, you can see the apostles themselves, they say, we are devoting ourselves, here it is again, to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The priority is God's word. But then in verse 7, I want you to see this, because this is so important. Luke uses these words very intentionally. These words are not by accident. He says this in verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and many of the priests became obedient to the faith. I love that Luke, as he's writing this, uses these words intentionally. Notice he did not say this. Many people showed up. He didn't say that. He didn't say the crowds got bigger. This is very intentional language that Luke is using. What does he say? He says, he didn't say attendance increased. No. He said, God's word increased. What does that mean? Right? Like, this is what we have to really self-reflect and learn how what the early church did and apply it to our lives, how we apply it. We say, hey, is God's word increasing in my life? That's a hard question, right? Like, man, it's convicting for me, even as a pastor. Is God's word increasing in my life? Am I letting it do the work it needs to do to grow me closer to God? Is God's word increasing in my life? And I love the next line he used. He says, the word of God increased and disciples multiplied. There's a distinct difference, and this is very important to recognize. There is a distinct difference between disciples and church attenders. You're like, well, that sounds like the same thing to me. It's not. It's not even close. Because see, a church attender can hear God's word and walk out and never have it affect them. A disciple hears God's word and knows that's what I'm submitting to. I need to apply that to my life. And I'm going to allow it to shape me and mold me and conform me to his image and his character and his behavior. See, a church attender can show up, but a disciple is someone who's going to learn to imitate Jesus. I love this passage. It shows us very clearly that the church as they are walking through this, as they are placing themselves under God's word, that they are allowing his word to shape them, to form them, to conform them into the image of Jesus. He's the main thing. Whether you're reading from Genesis to Revelation, the main character is always Jesus. Always. Though they may have been written by different authors, the main character all through Scripture points us to and helps us realize who Jesus is, what he's done, and what he is doing in our lives. And this is what shapes us from just following a religion that shows up on a Sunday and maybe engages periodically or randomly to walking in relationship with Jesus to say, listen, I can't get enough of you, Jesus. Please pour into my life. Be a part of my morning every morning when I wake up. Help me focus my attention on you as I go to sleep or as I'm sitting at the dinner table or as I'm going to work and engaging in conversation. Help you be the primary person who I am focused on because I have this relationship with you and I know what you have done for me. I've experienced your grace and your mercy in my life and I can't wait for other people to experience it as well. I love as we walk through this, I'm going to jump, if you will allow me to Acts chapter 20. As we examine what it means to grow in God's word and allow his word to take authority in our life, I can't help but go to this last passage in Acts as Paul's done his missionary work. There are many churches all across where Paul has done this work. And Paul is about to, he knows where he's going. He's going to Rome, where eventually he's going to die. And this is to a church in Ephesus. He says these words. And I think it's such an encouraging word, and I pray this is our commitment. Like, we can look at what Paul did and say, hey, I want to have that kind of statement in my life. I want you to see what he says to this church, to the church elders, to help them see very clearly the importance of God's word. He says this in verse 24 of Acts chapter 20. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify, here it is, I want you to see this, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. To testify. I've been placed under his word. I understand the authority of God's word. It takes priority. I'm devoted to it, not just in my once a week Sunday morning, but all through my life, my public life, my private life. I am making Jesus the primary thing. I am proclaiming and testifying the good news of Jesus everywhere and as often as I can. Because I want people to know what it's like to not follow a religion, but to follow a relationship with the living, breathing God who loved you and me enough to send his son to die on the cross and shed his blood for me and you. That's grace. That's the grace of the gospel. And as he continues, he says this, and now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. So this is his last words, you could say. This is Paul's last words to this church in Ephesus, and the importance of what he's saying is laid out in the next verse, verse 26 and 27. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. I have shown the importance of God's word. I have proclaimed the ministry and the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I've lived it. And then he says this, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. I did not shrink from declaring all the truths of God's word. I said this earlier, there are some things in here that aren't popular. There are some things that God points to in this scripture that don't feel good. They make us squirm in our seats. I love that God's word and what Paul is telling the church as they are examining growing in God's word is this isn't a salad bar. You don't get to pick and choose what you like. You got to take the whole counsel. You can't just say, hey, I like hearing about God's love and his mercy in my life, and not also teach and walk through his judgment and the things that we have, his justice. These are real things that the scripture teaches. We can't just say and preach and teach only his forgiveness and not talk about sin in our lives. It's the whole counsel of God. This is what we're called to submit to. This is what we're called to grow in. And man, this is why at the River Church we have growth communities. That's intentional. It is a core element of who we are as followers of Jesus. We recognize if you aren't part of a community who is actively putting yourself under God's word more than just Sunday to engage in what it means to be submissive to God's word and prioritize his word in relationship and getting to know God. Listen, there are so many times in my life, even now, where I get to hear other people who are growing in God's word and it encourages me. It builds me up. It sustains me. It helps me know, hey, I'm not the only one going through that struggle. We can deal with the hard things of Scripture together. The convicting parts of Scripture, the parts of Scripture that make us squirm. And I'm going to tell you, when you get in community and you start walking through this and engaging with this, you're going to find you're not alone. You're not the only one that struggles with certain aspects of what the Scripture says. You're going to find that you're not the only one that wants to tend to only pick the stuff you like. You're going to see there's other people that are just like you that only want to hear the good stuff and how to navigate the harder stuff. That's part of growth communities. That's part of walking in fellowship with one another, what the church was devoted to. I love this. I love that Paul didn't just teach the easy parts. I love that he didn't just teach the encouraging parts or the popular parts. He taught the whole counsel of God. I don't know what background you come from. I don't know what everyone's history is. I'm a guest here. I know that. But man, if we as a church understand the priority and the importance of God's word in our life, we recognize and understand we have to take the whole thing. From the beginning to the very end. We have to understand that that all points us to who Jesus is and what he has done for you and for me at the cross and why that is so important to know that he came out of that grave, to have that clarity, to know why that is so important for our faith. And that should shape who we are, what we do, how we behave, how we engage with his word, how we engage with him. See, as we start to grow in his word, we allow his word to shape the way we think. We allow the word to shape the way we think, the way we respond, the way we engage with other people, and ultimately the way we behave. This is what growing, as we see it scripturally, means. We don't stay, man, I used to be an atheist, lived an absolutely debaucherous life. The Lord came into my life and transformed me. And it started when I started submitting and putting this, his word, continually, consistently in my life. Am I perfect? By no means. But man, I know his grace and I know his mercy. And so when I screw up, I want you to hear this, when I fail, it's so much easier for me to run back to Jesus because I know his grace and I know his mercy. And maybe you're feeling a heavy weight, a conviction. That may be because you don't even know Jesus. Man, I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus today, call on his name. There's nobody better to get to know in your life than Jesus himself. If you're here and you've been a follower of Jesus and you're like, man, I'm feeling the conviction. Listen, I want you to hear this. His grace is for all of us. And all he wants you to do is come back to him, to submit to him, and place his word as a priority, a devoted thing, a part of your life, not just on Sunday, but every part of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the scripture here in Acts, the example in Acts that you give us. Lord, we see this church, they endured persecution, but Lord, we see that they were devoted to the very word of God, the teachings of the apostles. Lord, we see that they were devoted to prayer for one another and for caring for one another in community. Lord, I pray as we as a church, Lord, we're all part of the same church, whether I'm in Flushing or here in Wild Lake, Lord, I pray that we would continue to devote ourselves to you, to your word, to your spirit, and to prayer to one another. And Lord, that we would see you do great and mighty things, powerful things in our lives, Lord. Lord, I pray that as we walk through difficult things in scriptures, we wouldn't run from it. We wouldn't hide from it, Lord, but we would submit to it, walking in obedience, trusting your very truths. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand.